in Nehemiah chapter 6, they've already built the temple in Ezra, and now they're building the walls. And now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, I mean, that even sounds like the enemy, don't it? The Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. They want to meet where? In the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Hey, preacher, why don't you come down here and meet with us? All the preachers are gathering together down at the restaurant, and we want you to come down in the, amen, the street of Ono, and have breakfast with every sort of preacher there is in this town, and let's just try to all get along, and amen, we'll have meetings at your church, and you can come to our Catholic church and Episcopal church and Lutheran church, and we'll set you up there. Why don't you come? No, they meant it for his mischief. There ain't no good plans that ecumenical movement has for any of us. That's all false. That is anti-Christ. Give me a good amen. I said anti-Christ. And I like what Nehemiah, he sent a messenger. He didn't take time to go see him himself. He sent a messenger unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Now you think that's sufficient, right? He told them, no, I'm not coming. But the enemy never takes no for an answer. Watch. Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time. They just ain't going to roll over and play dead. And I tell you, church, whatever you decide to do here for the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy knows about it, and he's not going to roll over. He's not going to play dead. There's going to be continually problems and things that come up, obstacles that are going to get in your way. Amen. I want to preach this thought. I want to take that word, oh no, and I want to take that thought, I can't come down, and I want to preach on, oh no, I'm not coming down. Now I want you to say that with me. We're going to see how well you stay awake tonight. Because every now and then I'm going to say things like, wow, what are you going to do when the devil shows up? What are you going to do when the flesh and the enemies want you to quit? What are you going to tell them? And when I say that, you're going to say, oh no, I'm not coming down. Now listen, I have done this in churches and I've heard people get it wrong. It's not that hard. Oh no, I'm not coming down. On three, let's do it. One, two, three. Oh no, I'm not coming down. Now if I point to you, what are you going to say? Oh no, I'm not. Now that was real sweet, but that's not real loud. I want it said like your boy, amen, was getting ready to run out in the street in front of a car. So let's try it again. When the devil raises up his face and the enemy comes down on you, what are you going to tell him?
Oh no, I'm not coming down.
What are you going to tell him? That ain't good enough.
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
That still ain't good enough.
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
Stand up, see if you can get it any better.
Hey. Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
All right for you. Amen. You got it now? What are you going to say?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
That's what I like. What are you going to say? Oh, no, I'm not coming down. No, whoa. Let's set this right here. Let's stand up right here. I want you to open your mouth where you can get two fingers. All right. Open it that way. All right. Now say it. Oh no, I'm not coming down.
Oh no, I'm not coming down.
All right, I'll take it. Amen. I want to say number one tonight. I'm not coming down because I'm busy. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I don't have time to come down. We're busy. You know what you need to do in the Lord Jesus? You need to get busy. Amen. No downtime. No loafing time. I know everybody has to rest. I'm not telling you to do. I know you got families. I know you've got husbands. You've got wife. That wife needs some of your time. I've appreciated just being able to get my wife in a motel this week so I could say hello to her. Amen. I didn't say now. See, you're one of those I was preaching about. But amen. I mean, we've been busy running our heads off. Oh Lord, I feel like I'm going to have a Catholic service. Amen. Sprinkle the brethren. Well, I'm telling you, friend, it's been good to relax a little bit and not be on any kind of a schedule. It reminded me of being in evangelism. But amen, I'm telling you what. Hey, listen, friend, we need to be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to. I hear these people who are suffering. Amen, they are suffering from depression. Now, I know there's clinical depression. Do not go out of here and say, Drummond doesn't believe in clinical depression. Yes, I do. But I'm telling you, a lot of that depression is no more than just your flesh. Just your stinking, no good, dirty, lousy, lazy flesh. And you want an excuse for not doing anything, so you call it depression. Amen. I preached this one place and a nurse was there and she came up to me and she said, I wish you'd come to my hospital and preach that. She said, we have so many people that I deal with every day that are not suffering from depression. They're just suffering from laziness. Amen. Don't be lazy for the Lord. Hey, get up and read your Bible every day. Amen. How often should you read your Bible? Amen. You didn't like it sitting up there? Okay, brother, whatever's best for you. That's all right, I'll come back there too. Amen. I'll make your ears hurt. Amen. At least he fed me good this week. Amen. But I'm telling you, friend, we need to read our Bible every day. Man, if you'd read that Bible, that'd keep you out of a lot of depression. And I listen, and I know, you know, everybody. You read what you feel like you need to read. But I'm telling you, a couple verses ain't going to get the job done. I mean, I think you ought to read at least enough to get through the Bible every year. I saw back there on the table a Bible schedule. You ought to pick one of them up, especially since J1's coming up here soon. And if you've never done it, you need to determine to do it. I'm reading my Bible through twice a year right now, and I've been doing that for the last few years, and I've enjoyed getting in the Word of God and letting God speak to me. Stay busy in that Word. Stay busy on your knees. Boy, I'm telling you, that's one thing the flesh hates. It might let you read your Bible, but it don't want you on your knees. It don't want you submitting yourself. And when I'm talking about submitting yourself, I'm talking about getting on your knees and saying, God, this is your day. I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And today I am yielding my members, amen, unto righteousness. I'm going to yield my eyes. I'm going to yield my ears. I'm going to yield my hands. I'm going to yield my feet. I want to submit completely and totally unto you. Try that and tell me the flesh don't, amen, throw up a roadblock in your way. Want to get you up off your knees. You'll be down on your knees for 2 minutes and the flesh will start reminding you what you got to do that day. Some of you ladies have to get your kids off to school in the morning. I tell you, you got to get up, amen, before they get up. You've got to spend some time in prayer when it's quiet in the house. Send your husband off to work and then don't get back into bed, but stay up and have your time with God. Man, my first Monday morning at the job, see, in evangelism, I could sleep into 7. I had all morning to get my devotions done, and it wasn't no big problem. But I found out something. Our school kids start showing up at 8 o'clock. And if I'm not done by 8 o'clock, it ain't going to happen. I get busy, man. And so I found myself, I woke up at 5:30. I said, God, why are you waking me up at 5:30? He said, it's time to go to work. And I went in there and got my clothes on and headed over to my office and got my devotions in. I'm telling you, some of the sweetest times I've had has been in that office where there's no one else. Amen. Kneeling by that couch, weeping and talking to God. Amen. And then when school starts, amen, I got all that in and I can face my day. And I tell you, every one of you children that can read, you need to read your Bible. You need to get up in the morning before you have breakfast. My pastor always said, no Bible, no breakfast. Amen. Get that Bible done. And you know, I've heard people say, well, I can read. I can read before I go to bed. Now, some people can do that. I can't. I found out I am the freshest, the most wide awakest. That's a good word. When I get up in the morning after a good night's rest. And boy, I pop out of bed. You ask my wife. I pop out of my bed. Yesterday, I popped out of bed going, I love you. I love you. You I love.
Oh, and no.
And she's like this. All I wanted was a symphony back. I love you. But did I get that? Oh, no. But I kept singing, I love you. I love you. And I'm sitting there, got my Bible, and I look over, I love you. My kids hated that. Because I wake up in the morning, man, I'm alive. For an overweight, high blood pressure man to wake up alive is a blessing. And I've woke up alive. And I'm full of energy in the morning. And man, I get to my office and I pray and I read that book, amen, and start getting my Sunday school lessons together, my Wednesday night lesson together, my preaching message together, amen. And by noon, I could about have it all done. Get busy. Don't be lazy. Read your Bible. Pray. Go tell somebody about Christ. When you start feeling, woe's me. Oh, look at me. How bad I have it. Oh, I wish somebody'd have a big pity party for me. I mean, my lip is way down there on the ground. You got that poochy lip disease? Why don't you take yourself and give yourself a good kick, amen, and realize you are a son of God. You realize you're going to live forever. Realize one day you're going to walk on streets of gold and get over this silly pity party junk. Get busy. Hey, and when the devil comes, and when the flesh says, I've had enough, what are you going to tell him? Yeah, you. What are you going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
Oh, I like that. Oh, no, I'm not coming. Dad, what are you going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
What are you three right there going to tell him?
Oh, no, we're not coming down.
Stand up. It's, oh, no, I'm not coming down. I want to hear it just as loud as you could possibly get it. I want you to, let's take three real deep breaths. Ready? Exhale. Ready? Fill them lungs all the way up. Feel it. One more time. Now, what are you going to say when he comes along?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
All right, good. Amen. Let me say number two. Amen. I'm not coming down because of brothers and sisters in Christ. Hello? Well, what will you think of me if I come down? You know, the sad thing over the years that we've been doing this, 32 years now, in full-time Christian work, is that we hear about something every other month. Some brother has dropped out. Some man has ran off with some woman. Amen. Some piano player has left with another brother. I'm telling you, over and over and over and over, we have heard these kind of stories. We have heard from even, they were gay. We've heard from even, they ran off with somebody. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I have signed Richard Drummond, Romans 8, 35 through 39, probably in 3,000 Bibles. Amen. I mean, over the course of all these years, I have signed my name in kids' Bibles. I signed some while I was here this week, last night. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to let this boy down. I don't want to let this boy down. I don't want to let this little girl down. I don't want to let these teenagers down. I want them teenagers to be say, there's a man out there that loves God and lives for God. Amen. Separated from the world. Somebody that I can count on, that I know is going to stay in the race. Amen. Amen. I don't want to come down. I've got a family. I've got a boy that's in the contemporary movement, which I hate with all my might. But I love him. But if I came down, it'd destroy him. I got two girls, amen, think a whole lot of their daddy. I've got grandkids that love me. I can't afford to come down. I got to stay up. I can't come down to this world. I can't let this flesh have its way. I work with 8 women at the school. And my wife's not there in the morning. I'm in my office by myself. If any of those ladies want to talk to me, we go downstairs where everybody's at. I say, leave the door open, and I'll talk with them what they need to talk about. Amen. And what they're going to talk to me about is not marital type stuff. It's just problems in the school, and I'm okay with that. Now, if it's marital stuff, she's going to talk to the woman. But at school stuff, I can handle that. They're working for me. And so, amen. If I have to discuss something with them, they come in, the door starts to open that door. Because I don't want to be caught, even though we ain't doing nothing, in a door closed with a woman in it. Why? Because all it takes is somebody seeing that. All it takes is something going through somebody's, amen, mind about that. And I'm telling you, I'm staying clean and I'm staying right with God, and there ain't no filthy mark, amen, remarks going through my mouth or my mind. Amen. I've got a good woman. I don't want to lose this woman. Amen. And I'm not coming down. You know, friend, in the world, do you know how many friends I have outside of church? None. None. I don't have a friend outside of Jesus Christ. If we go to someone's house, it's a Christian's home. If someone invites us over, it's a Christian that's inviting us over. If I fell and went down, I would have nobody. And that scares me. You say, Brother Drummond, are you capable of that? Yes. And you are too. That's why we are to guard our brain. That's why we are to bring every thought into captivity. Amen. If it's a good thought, think on it. If it's a bad thought, put it away from you. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I cannot let down. And I cannot come down because of the brothers. Hey, Rick, you got to stay up, buddy, because you've got kids. Are all these yours? All but her. These are your 4 right here. They look up to you, buddy. They are watching you. That's right. These little kids, this boy right here wants to be like you. You even named him Rick. Don't you want to be like your daddy? Man, I remember when my daddy worked. He worked close to my house. I'd ride my bicycle over. He was a steel worker and worked outside. I'd stand on a chain link fence and watch him work for hours till he'd finally come over the fence and say, you get home. Or I'd stay there all day. He was my hero. to you, Rick, this boy, you are his hero. And these girls, I guarantee you, there's something neat about a daddy and a girl's relationship. My daughter sat down between me and her husband, and she put her arm around Jimmy, and she put her arm around me, and she said, I am sitting between the two men I love the most. And I tell you, that did something for this old boy. Amen. He didn't like it a whole lot. Amen. She's my baby. That little girl right there is your baby, is that right? She's your baby girl, I'm telling you. She thinks you walk on water. Well, let me tell you something, Rick. You got to walk on water. You can't hit and miss. Be in one Sunday, out the next. You got to be here. Just like you've been at the meetings this week, you've got to continue to hang in there. And, sir, you do. You're going to a foreign land and taking your kids up there to Maine. And they like it here. And they're going to watch you. They're going to watch and see how you do for God, how you do for church. You single mothers in here, your kids are watching you. I can't come down, man. There is too much at stake to come down. And I'm going to tell you, when the devil says, I'll come on down, and when the flesh says, it's all right, come on down. I want to know, what is this row of people right here? What are you going to tell them when they say to come down?
I'm not coming down.
No, you didn't do it right. It's, oh no, I'm not coming down. Ready? All of you. You too. Oh. I love you. Here we go. I had to kick you. I couldn't reach you. Here we go. On three. What are you going to tell them?
Oh no, I'm not coming down.
Amen. Help me, preacher, would you? Would you show them how it's done, preacher? Why do you go,
oh, no, I'm not coming down.
That's right. Amen. Let me say I'm not coming down because I'm busy. I'm not coming down because of brothers and sisters. I'm not coming down because the blessings and benefits that God gives to me. Man, I'm telling you, God's good to you, friend. Can you say amen to that? You don't have to be a millionaire for God to be good to you. Well, if you got good health, you got a roof over your head, you got warm, amen, in the winter, and you got cool in the summer, you got something to drive to work in or ride, amen, you got a bicycle, you got legs, you ought to say, thank God he's been good to me. I tell you, God's been good to this old boy. 18 years we traveled them roads. 18 years we lived right out of the hand of God. 18 years I saw God take care of us when we got down to where, amen, I always carried a green bag. It was a bank bag, and I always carried my money in there. And boy, there was times I'd reach in there and grab that last 20, and I'd think, oh, I wonder what's going to happen now, and then go back to that green bag and find another one in there. And you say, oh, you just supposed that. No, sir, I'm telling you, God put money in that widow's barrel to take care of her. If he can do it in the Old Testament or the New Testament, hey, that's the same God I serve, and God's able to do it today. Man, we had a breakdown. You know, in 18 years, we had one breakdown. That is a miracle of God. Most of these guys, amen, that I know, Lutrick with that bus, man, they're having breakdowns every other weekend. I mean, Blunk all had, he went, had a breakdown, got a church, gave him a brand new engine, hadn't gone 100 miles in it, and it blew up. And another church bought him a brand new engine. I'm telling you, we're not talking about $100. We're talking about $15,000, $16,000. And I hear all these horror stories of these men that had breakdowns, and I look back at ours, and there was a couple times I had problems with. Anytime I had a problem, one time I had a problem in my mom's driveway. Oh, that worked out pretty good. Before I was in evangelism, we had a car. We was coming back from National Convention, the AC National Convention from Flagstaff, Arizona, and we broke down. And I called, I had a CB then, didn't have cell phones. And I called ahead, and Brother Jones was 60 miles ahead, and he was broke down in a diesel bus. Here we were separated in Oklahoma. Is that where we were? Oklahoma, separated. And we get out of our car, and a stadie comes in. and says, what happened? I said, here's what happened. Just happened. The car was under warranty. It wasn't my car. I borrowed it. But it was under warranty. He had a cab driver come and pick us up. That cab driver took us to the motel. We were taking our bags out, and that cab driver said, I believe it'd be better if you'd just come home and stay with us. I didn't know this guy from Adam. But when he said it, I went, all right, Lord, I see an open door. And when we walked in that lady's house, she was a diabetic, had one leg, was fixing us pork chops, green beans, and mashed potatoes. And I said, this is the will of God. And we stayed there over the weekend. Now, at the same time, our buses broke down 60 miles away. They're in Joplin, Missouri, right across the Oklahoma line. I got this taxi driver's boy to take me to where the bus was. And Brother Jones got this bus off the road in a used car parking lot. He got out and he called all the independent Baptist churches in the area. Guess what? None of them could help him. The guy come out of the parking lot from the used car place. He come out and he said, hey, bud. He said, what's happening? He said, well, here. He said, would you mind if I use your concrete to rebuild this motor? He said, no, you don't have to do that. I'll get a wrecker, come and move it to our bus garage. I'm a member of the First Pentecostal Three Sheets in the Wind Holy Ghost Pentecostal Church. We'll take you out there. By the way, there's a youth camp right beside the bus garage. We've got a place for the kids to play, swimming pools open. We'll feed them. Just stay out there till you get it done. I drove down there to where he was. I said, preacher, you doing all right? He says, I can't believe this. Look at this. These kids are running all over the place playing, having a great time. I said, well, you ain't going to believe it. We're in a taxi cab driver's house. He said, what? I said, yeah, God's feeding us. God's feeding you. This is pretty good, isn't it? And those kids, they went to church at the First Holiness Three Sheets in the Wind Pentecostal Holiness Church that morning. That preacher got up who had been an independent Baptist preacher. Stood up and said, these kids need fed today. And somebody volunteered and took that whole busload of kids to a buffet and let them eat all they want. Hey, listen, I'm talking about God taking care of you. I had another breakdown. God took care of us. We finally got home. They got home. Everything was great. I had another breakdown while I was in evangelism, the only one I ever had, and it was down in Mississippi. Now, Mississippi is a very dark state. Do you know what I'm saying? 9 out of 10 people are a shade darker than Louis. We got down there, and I had a fuel pump had gone out in one of my gas tanks. I had two, and I didn't know it. And when I went to flip that switch, I had a full tank of gas, brother. But when I flipped that switch, nothing happened. And here my family is pulled off the side of I-59 headed south at Hattiesburg, Mississippi. South Mississippi. And I got out of that car, that van. I laid my hood, my hands on the hood. And I said, help! And I heard a noise. And I looked back, and here was a car backing out, backing to us. I looked, there was 3 black people in that car. First thing my boy said was, you think we can take them, Dad? I said, man, I'm praying we don't have to take them. Great big old boy, 6'8", got out of that car, walked up to where I was. He said, can I help you, sir? And I told him what happened. He said, get in the car. I didn't say goodbye to my wife. I didn't kiss my kids. I got into that car and headed up the road. And I thought, you know what? You better tell these people you're a man of God. And I looked over at that driver and said, I want you to know I'm a preacher. And a little black guy in the back said, he said, you mean you're a man of God? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you see this guy driving the car? He ain't going to church right now. He needs some preaching. Preach to him. What an invitation. I pointed my finger at him. I said, I bet you got a mama somewhere who's on her knees praying for you that you get back in church. And then it dawned on me, what are you doing? These guys could, amen, knock you out of the car, kill you. And And he said, yeah, man, you're right. We had to go 15 miles to the next exit. It ain't like it is here, man. We got off of that exit. He said to me, you ain't going to believe this. I'm telling you, I'm in the eighth heaven right now, man. I'm floating. He said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He said, this morning, for the first time, I've never done this, but this morning, I put a gas can in the car. I said, that was God. He said, you mean God had me put that gas can in there? I said, yep, because he knew you was going to run into a preacher and need a gallon of gas. I said, fill that can up. Fill your car up. By the way, that guy over there, fill his car up. I'm a happy man, let me tell you. He said, no, preacher. He said, the Lord will take care of this. He filled that can up. We went back down. Listen to me. We were 15 miles, had to go back. He crossed over, come up to the van. We put that gallon of gas in. He says, preacher, man, is there anything else I can do for you? I said, now, I'll be honest with you. I'm getting 12 miles a gallon in this rig. That means I'm going to run out before I get to that extra. He said, ain't no problem. You run out, you pull over, we'll go get another gallon. I went, sure you will. 12 miles exactly, that thing ran out of gas. I pulled over. This little black man was in the front seat. You can ask my wife. He's hanging out with that can yelling, we'll be back! We'll be back! He went up there 3 miles, got a gallon of gas, came the 15 miles back down, crossed over, come up the 12 miles to where we were, put that gallon of gas in. He said this, hey, preacher, the Lord has been speaking to me. I said, it caught me funny. And I said, what did you say? He said, I said, the Lord has been speaking to me. And I said it just like this, half cocky. I said, well, tell me, what has the Lord been telling you? He said, I just noticed when we got gas this time, there was a Shoney's. Now, Shoney's is a buffet restaurant in the South. He said, this is seafood night, preacher man. All the seafood you can eat. And he said, the Lord told me to take your family to dinner. I looked at him and I said, I know the Lord told you that. And we went and ate and laughed with them black people, hugged them black people when we left. And I got behind the seat of my van ready to take off with a full tank of gas. And the Holy Ghost said, hey, Drummond, how'd you like that? I said, Lord, if every breakdown is a free meal, I'll take one a week. And here's what he said. He said, Drummond, you just keep serving the God the way I tell you to. You just keep doing what I speak to your heart about, and I'll take care of you. Let me tell you something, friend. I was in that 90 Ford van, so that must have been about 93, 94 that happened. So we've been in evangelism about 3 or 4 years when that happened. From that time to this time, I had traveled way over 500,000 miles in my vehicles and never had another breakdown. Why? Because I did what the Lord said. I stayed faithful. When he told me to give, I gave. Even if it hurt to give it, I gave it. I've raised money for churches. There's a church in Nova Scotia that I raised $50,000 for. But the first $500 was my money. There was a church in Hawaii, amen, that they needed money. But the first $500 was my money. There's a Bible school that's in Romania right now teaching preachers. Amen. And one of the thousands that went to that was my money. And I didn't have extra money laying around. A lot of time what I gave broke me. But God always took care of it. And I'll tell you what, friend. It's 8:30 right now. I said to the Lord, if I could preach this in 15 minutes, I'd be happy. But I tell you, I could talk all night long about how God has taken care of this woman and our family. Amen. While we were on the road. Amen. And I can't come down. Amen. I appreciate the blessings of God. And Steve, when the devil comes and the flesh says, get off of that mountain, what are you going to tell him?
Oh, no, no.
What is this rogue going to tell them?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
What is these three going to tell them?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
Well, that's good, Mama. These two little shy girls here, I barely got a grunt out of them.
Barry, what are you going to tell them?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
Barry, come here, come here, come here, come here. Your family stand right up. You girls stand up. You two, you Mom and Dad, you two girls, I'll give you another chance. On three. One, two, three.
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
All right, good. Let me give you the last thing. I'm not coming down because of the bridegroom. I can't quit because of what he's done for me. I don't understand people, preacher, that quit. I quit one thing my entire life. And as far as sports and all that goes, I quit one thing. And really had a good reason to quit that in high school. But I tell you, it bothered me that I quit. And it was nothing. It was a football team that I had missed summer practice because of a rash, and I couldn't wear the equipment. And when they issued me my equipment, the helmet, I could spin it around in my head. The pads didn't fit. And I was just frustrated and hurt, and I quit the football team. And that haunted me that whole year, my whole senior year, that I quit. Because my mom and my dad instilled in me not to quit. See the job through to the end. I'll be honest with you. I don't like quitters. You quit on God, I don't like you. I tell you, God paid a price so that we might hang in there. And yeah, it gets tough. Yes, it gets rough. Yes, sometimes you feel like you're barely going to make it. But just hang in there. And God will give you the strength. And man, when the devil says to give it up, what are you going to tell him? That's right. What's this rogue going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
What's this bunch back here going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
What are you going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
What's this rogue going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
What's the church going to tell him?
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
I can't hear you.
Oh, no, I'm not coming down.
I'm going to tell you, the enemy's going to come by. The enemy's going to say, move on. The enemy say he's going to quit. The enemy's going to tell you it's not worth it. The enemy's going to tell you take your tithe somewhere else. The enemy's going to tell you take your work somewhere else. Go to another church. Leave here. What are you going to tell them?
Oh,
what?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
All right, for the last 45 minutes, you've told me you're not coming down. Now, for the next six, I want my wife to go to the piano. I want you to come and tell God that you're not coming down.